Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. From what kind of cake you can order at a bakery to exactly how free Americans are from unreasonable government intrusion in their homes, the United States Supreme Court weighs in on the issues of our time. Mike Thompson is Associate Professor of Criminal Justice at the University of Sioux Falls. He joins me today in SDPB's USF studio for a look at some recent decisions. Welcome back, Professor.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure here. To adjust your microphone there a little bit.
Fun place to be.
Yeah. Maybe fun's not the right word. It's fascinating to watch the Supreme Court, the decisions that they're making and how they discuss it.
Yeah, it is fascinating. It's fascinating to me anyway, and I'm glad it's fascinating to you too.
All right, let's start with the cake baking, because that's something that maybe people don't fully understand what exactly was decided, but it's something that everybody seems to want to talk about.
That is an interesting case. It's Masterpiece Cake Shop versus the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And Colorado has what is called a public accommodations law, which prevents discrimination based on certain categories in public accommodations. And that Colorado law defines public accommodations to include places like Masterpiece Cake Shop. Not just places where people stay, but where businesses sell things to other people. And Jack Phillips, I think is his name, is the owner of the cake shop. We had a couple, same-sex couple, came into the cake shop to request a wedding cake from him, and he refused to provide it. And so they made a complaint to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. It was investigated. They found that he had violated that Colorado anti-discrimination law, and then here we get all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right. And the Supreme Court sided with the baker.
Supreme Court sided with the baker, yeah.
But it's not as broad as maybe some people think because it has a lot to do with exactly what the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, how they were doing business.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Do I understand that?
The legal ground is very narrow. It's interesting because it's a 7-2 decision, and we have Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor who dissented. And then you have this majority opinion, but then you have Justice Thomas who concurs in the judgment with Gorsuch, and they talk about the First Amendment, the First Amendment claim about the expressive nature of making a wedding cake. And then you have Gorsuch joined by Alito, I think, another justice, and they talk about the application. They concur in the judgment, but they write to expound more on what their thoughts are, which doesn't, of course, create any precedent, but it does give some indication as to what they might be thinking.
What kind of precedent does this create in the sense that, okay, if someone goes down to a bakery and in Rapid City today, and the same thing happens, that couple could take the case up because the South Dakota laws are different. So there could be another one soon that looks at basically the same issue.
Right. This case doesn't really help that issue because in this case you have a free exercise of religion claim stemming from the First Amendment against what could be an equal protection claim under the 14th. The court in Masterpiece Cake cites the decision that said same-sex marriages have to be allowed under the Equal Protection Clause. So they didn't go that far to try to answer that question.
Right.
But they followed a 1990 decision out of Oregon that was about peyote use. A couple of employees had used peyote in a Native American religious ceremony. They were fired from their job for it and were denied unemployment compensation because they had committed a crime. Mm. And in that case, Justice Scalia wrote that opinion. He said that a law that only incidentally affects the free exercise of religion will survive a free exercise claim.
Hmm.
So, and then we, in this case...
Incidentally.
Whatever that means.
Right.
But then in this case, you have this public accommodations law, which the court says is a neutral law of general applicability. And as a general rule, that will survive a claim based on a free exercise of religion action. So if we have the 1990 precedent, if the Colorado Civil Rights Commission had acted properly, Phillips would have lost.
Right.
That his claim would not have
And there's something there about hostility, just the way they treated his religious belief with hostility. What's the relevance of that?
That's a great question. I get goosebumps talking about this now. The relevance of that is that this law of general applicability, the accommodations law, if that were applied even-handedly, then Phillips would lose. But we have a law that on its face is neutral and applies to everybody. But the way the Colorado Civil Rights Commission applied it to Mr. Phillips chilled his free exercise of religion. They really attacked his religious beliefs. And therefore, the Supreme Court said the Colorado Civil Rights Commission was biased toward him based on his religious claims. And his religious claims are sincerely held. So,
Does that mean something looking forward as the Supreme Court looks at other cases, including the travel ban and sort of some of the things that have been said by the president about Muslims in America? Do you see a hint there that they might, that notion of hostility might come into play again, or is that irrelevant?
No, I think that notion of hostility is relevant. In those types of cases, that would be based on a racial discrimination. And in the travel ban cases, the Immigration and Naturalization Act actually gives the president some leeway in applying a travel ban, as long as it's not, doesn't violate race, religion, those types of things. So you could see if in that situation, if we had a travel ban that on its face looked like it was non-discriminatory, it was generally applicable, but then you have the president and his comments indicating that it might say that, but here's how we're going to apply it, mm-hmm. then I think there's going to be a free exercise.
We might see this
problem.
Again, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think you might see it again.
Some people are super into talking about this, like you and I are, and then some people are like, just go buy a cake somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
But it's important because there are real, since marriage was allowed between gay couples, there are important issues left to be decided legally throughout the country. So it's a little bit that this is why people don't just go and pick a cake out somewhere else, because they know what's at stake.
Right.
And also probably why the baker refused.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sincerely held belief, but also he probably had an awareness that there was a reason that he was doing what he was doing.
Right.
Some of these issues are unresolved. And
yeah, in the opinion, they cite what he said at the hearings in front of the commission about his religious beliefs and why he wouldn't make a cake for a same-sex couple and those kinds of things. Yeah.
And that can flip with a baker who refuses to make a cake that says gay marriage is wrong, or you know, we're celebrating marriages between a man and a woman, I'm not going to make that cake for you. Same thing could happen.
Right. And in fact, that's what Justice Ginsburg talks about in her dissent, because it's just so fun. But anytime the Supreme Court takes up a case, you've got Masterpiece, the cake shop, which is one party, and then you have the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, which is another party, and then you have all these groups who petition the court to come in as friends of the court.
Right.
So one of these friends of the court brought up three cases in front of that the Civil Rights Commission had resolved prior to that, that indicated they had sided with the baker who refused to make cakes that contain derogatory language about same-sex couples.
Right.
So Ginsburg hinted at that, and
we
have a 59-page opinion.
Do you read that whole thing?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
Because I just thought you might.
I might. Yeah, I did not.
And then we have this other case, and I don't have it in front of me. What is it called? We're talking about cartilage.
Yes. Collins versus Virginia. Which hasn't gotten near the press that
fascinating to look at, because this is a, where can you search? What is curtilage? Define it for our listeners, because it's my new favorite word.
Is it curtilage?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Curtilage is the place around the house that is treated with as much privacy as the house itself. So in Collins versus Virginia, for example, the guy's motorcycle is parked on his driveway, which is underneath kind of a semi-enclosed area of the house. And the Supreme Court calls that curtilage. There is no definitive boundary of where curtilage begins and curtilage ends. But whatever's within the curtilage is really held sacred as a private place.
So it's a stolen motorcycle. It's in the, is it outside the house? It's kind of covered under a tarp.
Right.
A police officer who's looking for this knows where this guy lives or where he stays, because
right.
this is his girlfriend.
Yep.
And peeks under the tarp, runs the VIN and says this motorcycle is stolen.
Yeah.
And the police lose in this case, right?
Yes. Yeah, the police lose. Like, they found pictures on Facebook of the motorcycle. They thought they knew who had it. And they went to the house, and there it was underneath the tarp.
Yeah.
And anytime you have a governmental intrusion like that into a reasonable expectation of privacy, that's a search. Supreme Court says we need a warrant unless it fits within an exception. The exception that Virginia tried to use was the automobile exception. The automobile exception allows a warrantless search of a car if the police believe it, have probable cause to believe it contains contraband. So Virginia tried to use that one, saying this is an automobile exception. The motorcycle's movable. He has a diminished expectation of privacy. But Supreme Court said, no, the fact that where it's parked, he's got an objective expectation because of that. He's got a subjective expectation because he covered it with a tarp. So,
right. And you have Justice Kagan saying, well, you could bring a bike in the house. Does that mean the police can just walk in your house and that's movable? And
right.
you have them talking about the relationship between him and the girlfriend. Is,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg is like,
right.
is it his girlfriend or someone that he's just hopeful about?
Yeah.
So you have these little quips and jokes. And what I love yeah. about this case is this notion of modern policing
uh-huh.
with social media and everything that has changed. And that's all coming up in the conversations, how fast they can get a warrant, how long does it take?
Right.
And then this old constitutional protection is a way not to, just because it got a whole lot easier
yeah.
for you, officer, doesn't mean you can walk in there and lift up that tarp.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There were a whole bunch of the issue of the girlfriend, whether if that's her house, whether he has a reasonable expectation of privacy in her house.
Yeah.
He does.
She's the mother of his child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From
they have a long-term relationship.
From
yeah.
training, for training purposes, for law enforcement, we teach that if you approach a home on a public path, like the sidewalk, then and you get to the door and if you see something inside that's contraband, that's under the plain view exception. The thing that made this one weird was the tarp on the motorcycle. It wasn't in plain view. The VIN wasn't in plain view because it was covered with a
right.
tarp.
What are we, who dissented in that? What's the decision? Do you know? As far as, that was a... I think it was just only maybe one dissent. It was pretty heavily in favor.
Yes.
Of, yeah.
Alito filed a dissent.
Okay. What was the basis for that?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I didn't look that up either.
I don't really worry about dissents.
That one is just one.
Yeah. Thanks for the question that I don't have the answer to.
But it was, so the justices said overwhelmingly
yeah.
that this was a violation.
Yeah.
What are we learning about Neil Gorsuch at this point, because everybody's sort of watching him as the most recent appointee.
Right.
He's an independent thinker, like
yep.
he should be, right?
Yep.
Like you want a Supreme Court justice to be an independent thinker.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's, from what I've read of his stuff, he's an adherent of stare decisis, let's stand by decided matters, because in his opinions, he goes back and looks at precedent. He did it in his concurring opinion in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case.
Mike Thompson, thank you so much
yeah.
for this. We'll
yeah,
see you
fun.
Next time, because there will be more cases. You might be here kind of frequently.
I would like that, yeah. All right.
All right, we'll see you next time.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much.